WRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We're going to be talking about Father's Day. Believe it or not, Father's Day is upon us again. So at the very outset, let me say to each and every one of you that are fathers, Happy Father's Day. I pray to be a blessed day for you. I pray that you'll be gathering with family. I pray that family will recognize Dad on Dad's special day. We're going to be talking about a subject, an issue, and it deals with Father's Day. God wants a few good men. You perhaps grew up, and some of you recall it, hearing some of the government ads on television. Government's looking for a few good men. Well, we're going to modify that. God's looking for a few good men. Men of faith. Men that are fearless, that will stand for God. Men that are faithful in standing for God. Men that will stand for truth. Men that will love their families and honor God in saying, as Joshua did, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's some of the things we'll talk about today. I pray that you'll join in the dialogue and discussion. And let me remind you in advance that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it God's truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17 makes a declaratory statement about the word of God. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. Now listen very carefully. It did not say, thy word contains truth. Thy word is truth. The bastion of truth, the total of truth, is in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is without error. By the way, it doesn't need modification. It doesn't need updating. It doesn't need revision. I've never heard of anybody saying, let's revise Shakespeare so that we can read it better. Let's bring Shakespeare up to date in his archaic terminology. And yet we hear that all the time about the Bible. I believe it's time that we get back to the Word of God, the truth book. And it's the truth that I harp on each and every day on this broadcast. It was George Orwell, the secularist, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made a profound statement. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that we're in the very center of that, the vortices of that today, where there's an hatred, there's a disdain, there's a disregard for truth today. In fact, I'm saddened to read a headline. Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. And in that survey that's related in that article, it says that 55% of the millennials say that each and every person has their own individual determination. Let me read it. Each person determines their own version of truth. It is to say that there's more than one version of truth. And ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. Anything that deviates from that is a half-truth. And yes, you've heard me say before, the risk of redundancy, I'll say again, a half-truth is a whole lie. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, here's what DeMint said. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. I couldn't have said that better. As we see the truth of the Word of God dissipating, being eviscerated, being dissed and rejected, we're witnessing all of the isms and the schisms coming to the top and destroying anything that will be called biblical Christianity today. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day as we face the issues. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, well, I've never been there before. How do I find it? At the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. Look carefully and you'll find on the campus of Tools for Time, 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we have around the studio table today, our round table, we have Dr. Neil Phelps. We have Dr. Glenn Davis. Men that love the Lord, men that study the Word, know the Word, teach the Word, live the Word. And we have the privilege and the opportunity to talk to you each and every week about the truth from the Word of God. Dr. Phelps, start for a moment about why we're here, what we're doing. What is Father's Day? Why should we celebrate Father's Day? Then I'll ask Dr. Davis to follow in that. And we'll take those thoughts, blend them, and we'll talk with you about that today and entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion about Father's Day. Dr. Phelps.
One of the great things we do in America is to honor the father in the Christian family. I think that is one of the great things that we have as Americans and possibly some other countries. They may do this the very same thing. But we need to honor genuine Christian fathers.
Amen.
And I believe that we may say that they are one of the great foundations of our country. We have fathers who have principles and who follow Christian values and teachings and do that as a follower of God. Bible tells us that we should be examples of the believers. Fathers should be an example of the Christian in the home and be the leader to lead his children, his wife, and others in his home to serve the Lord only.
Absolutely. Amen. Dr. Davis, what say you about fathers? Let me just postulate a couple of thoughts. There are a lot of people, when you talk about fathers, they think of one that just has produced a child. I mean, to look at a father as the one that, well, he's the breadwinner. Some see the father as one that is the ruling with an iron fist, and that's all it's about. Work through those thoughts and talk with our listeners today. Perhaps there are some that are in torn homes, broken homes, homes where there are no fathers. How should we view this special holiday called Father's Day in view of what the Scripture says?
Well, certainly, first I want to thank God for being here today, and good morning to my bride of 40 years. Amen. And everyone that's listening, amen, all of my friends and family back in Folkestone, St. Mary's, all around the various areas. We want to be able to speak an encouraging word, number one, Dr. Youngblood, to all of those who are truly good fathers. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about godly fathers,
yes,
biblical fathers, amen, the way that God has commanded for us to be, that we could stand and take our rightful place in the family as God has already ordained. Certainly we must understand that because we wear the pants and we pull up our breeches from time to time and say, I'm the man of the house, that certainly doesn't mean that you're the man of the house.
You got it.
And you're not supposed to rule with an iron fist, because we need to understand that, first of all, the Bible tells us that God is the head of the man, and man is the head of the woman, in that order.
Yes.
So he's got already a chain of command set up, but then we must understand that if we as godly men are supposedly to be, if we are not submitting to God, then certainly everything else is going to be out of alignment in our family.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make sure we understand, we get something from the broadcast on today. If you are a godly father and you need a little bit more encouragement or even more information so that you could better yourself at what you are doing, we are here to provide that for you today.
Absolutely.
But those that don't have a father, maybe there's only a mother in the home today.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up with that down through the years. I've experienced that. I have many friends that only had a mother in the home.
Yes.
Because the father left the family and decided to pursue other interests. Well, I want to say to you on today, if you are a male part of that family, such as a son, grandson, etc., etc., we hope that you will get something from this broadcast today to help you to be the type of father that you ought to be according to the plan of God. So maybe, hopefully, we can help families live a better life in America today, because things are so out of order in society, and it's partly due to the fact that there's absence of the fathers in the families in America today.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I want to bring into the thought, I'm looking at the lyrics to a song by the Gaithers, A Few Good Men. I want our listeners to just hear a few of the words, and they don't need to worry, I'm not going to break out and try to sing it. What this dying world could use is a willing man, a man of God, that dares to go against the grain and work without applause. A man who will raise the shield of faith, protecting what is pure, whose love is tough and gentle, a man whose word is sure. God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authorities to reason him away. He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few good men. Then the course of that says this: men full of compassion who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who'll fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men. And then the final words in that song: he calls the broken derelict whose life has been renewed. He calls the one who has the strength to stand up for the truth, enlistment line and that are open. And he wants you to come. He wants you to come in. He just needs a few good men. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that, I believe, summarizes the thought that we want to communicate today in relationship to the statement, God wants a few good men. Our focus today is on just what qualifies a man to meet the standards of who God is looking for. I'm intrigued, ladies and gentlemen, by one little verse in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. I'll read that. It's actually the second portion, second half of that verse. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, "But a faithful man, who can find?" End quote. So the question is, what does it mean to be a faithful man according to the authority of Scripture? What does it mean to be a man of God, a man that God can use, the kind of man that God's looking for today? We live in a society today, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, and I've said it before, it's like in the days of the judges, everyone doing that which is right in his own eyes. I believe we have a major confusion in America today as to the role of the father, the man, the head of the home, and his responsibility. We're finding today the homes are disintegrating, coming apart. We're finding today a lower and lower level of morals and ethics and values in the homes and the families. And I believe it's because we've gotten away from the fact that God wants a few good men. Dr. Phelps, with that thought, let's make a transition. What are some of the characteristics that God's looking for in men today, fathers today?
One of the things that I have learned from both the Old Testament and the New Testament is that God sets the standards for genuine, believing Christians. I think that there are many things, but one of those, first of all, should be one of those characteristics or marks of a faithful father should be that of a reverence for God, a respect for the things of God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 33:18, the Lord said, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." And that word fear in the scriptures has to do with this matter of a reverence toward God, an awe, respect for him. And so should be a person of a reverential heart, reverential soul from within. That should be part of his very makeup, his soul, his spirit, his heart, his mind toward the Lord, having a great respect for him and so living as to cause others to want to follow him in that way.
That's right. In fact, I would put that, what you've just said, and I like to categorize it from the standpoint of the different characters you find in the scripture that meet those standards. And I would put what you've just said in the category of having faith like Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and God counted that as righteousness, Genesis 15:6. We find that Abraham believed God, trusted God. I believe that ought to be the first and foremost characteristic of what we would call God looking for a few good men. Dr. Davis, with that being said, what are some of the other characteristics you think would fit into the category of filling the prescription of a few good men that God would be looking for today as fathers?
Well, if we consider everything in the Bible, again, concerning those that we know were truly good men of God and fathers of their household as well, such as Abraham. When we consider what's going on in our world today, Satan has introduced identity and gender confusion into this generation, because you have two men, and it's sad because our government has signed off on this. They made it a law that two men can marry and two women can marry, and one can claim, even though it's two male, one can say that they're the husband and the other can say that they're the wife. And the same thing with the two women, one can say that they're the husband and the other one can say that they're the wife. When we consider the way that God already has this everything set up, there should be no reason for us to make an error. Because here, let me read an example right here, going back to what Dr. Phelps said about Abraham being a true man of God. Now, let me say this too before I get ready to go. I think from the studies that I've done on men, five characteristics stand out in the lives of the men of God whom God will be truly pleased with. Men of God, I'm talking about fathers, should be protectors of their home. They should be providers. They should be promoters. They should be the priest of the home as well as prophets. All of these things need to be a part of the men of God's lives in order for them to be good fathers the way that God desires for them to be. But listen at what God said here in Genesis chapter 18, verses 16, 17, 18, and 19. Let me start with 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Verse 18, this is the one that stands out. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Verse 19, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yes.
God, he put the seal of approval on Abraham's life, because getting back to what Dr. Phelps said, what you have already said, God approved of him as being a man of God, a true father, only by believing, simply because he had faith in God. The Bible said, because he believed in God, God accounted that unto him for righteousness.
Right.
And now look at where we stand. If we walk after the pattern of Abraham, God will so recognize us in the same manner. But once again, we got to do it exactly like this word says it's got to be done.
Absolutely. And it goes back to the confusion in society today. And part of that confusion, I believe, goes back to the responsibility of the church. Too often we find the church has failed from the pulpits to simply preach the Word of God, to call sin, sin, to call men to be responsible for what God has them to do. Men are responsible. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, we're talking about Happy Father's Day. We're talking about God wants a few good men. I've summarized it in one of my writings about the faithfulness of a man. He is faithful in his marriage. He is faithful in his morals. And is faithful to his master. I believe it's an impossibility, Dr. Phelps, for there to be a Christian home, a home where the father leads, unless those three categories and responsibilities are met, where that man is faithful to the master, faithful in his morals, and faithful in his marriage. If any one of those areas break down, you've destroyed the strength of the head and the leadership in the home. And we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that as the father leads, the sons and the daughters mimic. They follow. They may not say so. They're going to follow what is done more than what is said. And you'll find homes where fathers lead. Listen, my boys will tell you, they never had to wake up on a Sunday morning and say, where are we going today? There was never a time they said, are we going fishing today? Are we going swimming today? Are we going skiing today? Are we going boating today? Dad, what are we going to do today? They woke up knowing that Sunday school and worship service was the order of the day. And that goes back to my love for Joshua, Joshua 24:15. Joshua, if you would please, said, you can choose any one of these gods you want to. You can choose the false gods, the phony gods. That's your choice. But as for me, that's a personal decision. But as for me and my house, that's a parental decision. We are going to serve the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the leader that God's looking for in the few good men that God wants to lead in our nation today. The man must lead in the home, must lead in the family, must have his faithfulness to the marriage and morals and the master if God's going to use him. And one of the major needs in America today, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, I believe is to have a few good men that are sold out, submissive to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Dr. Phelps, what say you?
One of the things I'd like to suggest is that we need to think about the terminology of the scriptures. When God called a man such as Abraham, he spoke of the role that he wanted him to have in society, in his with his relatives. In Genesis chapter 17, the scriptures tell us that God called Abraham, saying to him, "I'm Almighty God, walk before me, be thou perfect, and I'll make a covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." And other verses in the same passage has to do with the role of Abraham among the other nations. And here's what he says. "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." And I believe perhaps we could say that's where we get the idea of a man being the father in the home. Other places it speaks of the role of the mother in submission to the husband. And Abraham was called to be a father of many nations. And in this passage of Scripture, Abraham asked him to walk before God. And that implies, as we read throughout the text, that he's to be a follower of God. Abraham was to be a follower of God. And in many places in the Scriptures, we're told that each of us as fathers have a role to play. We have a way to behave. And I think the Lord was talking to Abraham about walking before Almighty God, and be thou perfect. Walk. And that implies a manner of living, a manner of behavior.
Absolutely.
And so in this passage, Abraham was to be faithful, and he would be, as a father, a model for his children and those who are in his household.
Absolutely. Dr. Davis, with that being said, we live in a society today where, well, let me just kind of put it on an elemental level. We have had millions upon millions upon millions of abortions, murder by way of abortion. And most people look at it as the woman's problem because she had an abortion. There's a causative factor there. The men have abrogated their responsibility in fatherhood. We're murdering millions and millions and millions today as a result of fathers refusing to take their God-ordained responsibility and taking that stand that ought to be. I find it abhorrent in the society in which we're living in today. Psalms 127 verse 3 says, "Children are a heritage of the Lord." So as we look at that today, that's a major, major, major indication of the shattering, the dismantling, the discharging of the responsibility of the father in the home, of deciding, well, I'm not going to be tied down with the child. I'm not going to be tied down with the responsibility. Let's just murder that child. We're going to talk about that further, Dr. Davis, right after the top of the hour news break. But ladies and gentlemen, as we think on the subject today, God's looking for a few good men. As we celebrate Father's Day, what kind of characteristics do you find that you think needs to be in that category of being a few good men? Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL-FM, St. Augustine. WATY-FM, Folkston. WMUV-HD4, Brunswick. And W272-CW,